Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it on WEEI.
It was exactly 1 week ago today that the New England Patriots finished up their calamity of a 2024 season with what some, including my cohorts on the afternoon show, described as the worst win in franchise history. And they followed that up by firing their head coach. And in the week that followed, it's been a bit of the hurry up and wait game for us here in Patriots Nation. And it seems as though we're getting a little bit closer to that finally coming to a close. But with that said, we welcome you and good morning. Thanks for choosing WEEI here on this Sunday morning, just after 8 a.m. on January the 12th, 2025. Dan Ball with you, and we're joined by one of the very best, somewhere deep and dark in Patriots Nation. You may know him as Fitzy. You may know him as Nick Stevens. But now I can finally say I know him as a friend who I've met in person. Fitzy, good morning. How are you, sir?
Dan, it is so wonderful to be on the people's airwaves with you this morning and hearing the way that you prefaced and described the end of the worst Patriots regular season I can remember since I got my driver's license. That you decided to choose kindness and only call it a calamity means that we're probably going to have a brighter, sunnier type of radio show today. And you know what? Considering the toxic, downgraded nature of this season on the whole in the last couple of years in Pat's Nation, whether or not that was the tax we had to pay and the bill that came due after the double dynastic run, I'm here for it. I am absolutely ready to try to turn if not several pages, and look to what hopefully will be brighter sides and sunnier days.
Well, we might as well, and nobody would know better than you, and I give you and Andy and everybody involved in the Six Rings postgame show a lot of credit this season more than most, because you had to plaster some form of a smile on your face for 18 weeks worth of a season and talk through what was a disaster. But the only way I can look at it now, we spent an entire week talking about rumors of the future, and I know that right now the present is pretty bleak, and you guys talked about it on Friday how there are three to maybe four, probably three, maybe two position groups that you look at and go, okay, we're set. We have the quarterback and we have our top corner back. But if nothing else, Fitzy, we spent the last week talking about rumors of what the future can be. So why not look at it with a positive? Because I'm hoping, and this is nothing more than a hope, this is not fact at this point, that the worst of this, I guess, rebuild 2.0, or just rebuild as a whole, is behind the Patriots at this point.
Oh, I would completely agree, because you look at it and you say to yourselves, save for that historically bad Cleveland Browns season of 2016, and of course 2008, when the Lions also went 0-16, how much worse could it really get?
Right.
How many more scandals could plague the team that used to thrive in the face of scandal and controversy? There used to be a gate every other year. We would look forward to it. It was like a holiday. We would celebrate it. It was a rallying cry in Patriots Nation. Free Brady was the roll tide of New England for months, if not years.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we relished, was the opportunity to prove to everyone, we as a fan base, of course, but mostly the team, led by the greatest coach quarterback tandem in history in Belichick and Brady. And now we lack the leadership. We lack the point. We lack the direction. Last week, of all the different sound bites that were played on various shows that people cottoned to and said, and you know, and felt like, yeah, that represents my POV, or that's my take as well, the one that resonated the most with me was, of all people and of all places, ESPN's Pablo Torres, who said on, of all shows, the mercifully canceled Around the Horn, he said,
Fair point, by the way.
You want to talk about, like, years ago, I used to think The Simpsons overstayed their welcome, but still somehow they have staying power, right. And new generations become fans.
Right.
Whereas everyone's like, Around the Horn? Is that still on before PTI?
Is Tony Reale still pushing those buttons? What are we doing?
I know. Tony Reale, does he go to the same plastic surgeon Tom Brady does? He hasn't aged a day. I miss Max Kellerman on that show. Anyway.
Yeah.
He should have stayed. So, but anyway, Pablo Torres said, to me right now, the New England Patriots lack direction. There is no, like, we don't know what they are anymore. They're a logo that we symbol that is synonymous to us with greatness and with recent success. But who are they? What is this team? What kind of team are they now except a bad football team? They need someone to come in and establish a new identity. Now, if that is going to be Mike Vrabel, and if, you know, Ben Johnson would also give the team an identity, one I think a lot of us around here would also be excited about, but he is a higher ceiling, lower floor coaching candidate. In Mike Vrabel, what you will get is something Belichick adjacent. You will get toughness. You will get preparation. You will get an attitude. You will get football 101 again. And that's why that Teddy Bruschi soundbite to kick off the show today is so perfect, because it's a mess. And Mike Vrabel, all 6'8", 200 and something pounds of him, wants to come in just like he used to when he was playing edge linebacker and even, you know, going 10 for 10 on all of his NFL receptions as a surrogate tight end. He will come in and that task will not be too tall for him, and he'll want to clean things up. And this organization, this fan base, this region at large, Dan, we, they, all of us need it.
No question about that. First of all, you can join the conversation with Fitzy and I at any point at 617-779-7937. You can call that number. That is also the number you can text. So let us know your thoughts. Are you Team Vrabel? Are you Team Johnson? And let us know why, where, depending on which side of the aisle that you fall on right now. Because in quoting Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal earlier this morning, Fitzy, all the reports from the last day and my own knowledge of the situation point towards Mike Vrabel and the Patriots coming to an agreement by Monday on him becoming the next head coach. There are no more interviews for either side on the books at the moment, and they are involved in contract negotiations at this point. That's certainly not a given, but it looks promising. If we hear that Vrabel is scheduling an interview with another team, say Tom Brady and the Raiders, then things are not going well and Vrabel is looking to pressure Robert Kraft. And, you know, you talk about even just the sheer size and the presence of Mike Vrabel, because if I was in the same room as him, I'd be intimidated by that man's presence. And I think a lot of Patriots fans would probably say the exact same thing. He will bring a level of structure, a level of continuity, and just a calm to the chaotic waters that you could argue, even if it doesn't end up being the right call. Say you go with Vrabel and it's proven that when Ben Johnson is hired by, I don't know, pick a name out of a hat, Tom Brady and the Raiders, because all of a sudden Peter Schrager started floating that around yesterday. Even if it ends up being the wrong hire, it's a hire that, if nothing else, should be able to steady the waters in New England. And I think, at least in the short term, and I think you were kind of alluding to this, there is some value in even him bringing that level of success to the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. So his track record, which, and now this is kind of one of these things, Dan, it seems now that Vrabel's candidacy and what he would bring to the locker room, to the organization, to the sideline, to game day, all of it, is now being nitpicked. It's being, you know, it's being microanalyzed, which of course people, I guess, are apt to do in these situations.
Sure.
But it's almost like he makes so much sense in a lot of ways that we're looking for a reason for it not to make sense. And I guess that's just human nature that we're dealing with at large here. But he's got 6 years on the books as a head coach. Now, I know there was controversy at the end, you know, things blew up with the A.J. Brown trade, John Robinson, and then he and Rand Carthen disagreed. Vrabel wanted to continue trying to play through and be competitive and not have to actually go through a 1 year or 2 year rebuild. The organization disagreed. They also didn't like the loyalty and fealty he pledged to the Crafts and the Patriots during his Hall of Fame induction. So it all blew apart a year and a half ago. But as far as what he does on the field, Did you ever see a Mike Vrabel team? I'm not sure exactly how much Titans football you watched. I'm not sure if it was like, you know, every Sunday morning you were like, time to tighten up. I can't miss a Vrabel game out there.
No, I tell you, my time in New York, there wasn't a ton of the coverage area that was spent on the Tennessee Titans.
I imagine so. Yes, you were suffering through. Well, actually, you were probably watching Bills games in the Capital Region, some various Giants and Jetropolitans and whatnot.
That's true. And a smattering of Patriots. I'll give them credit. There's more of a Patriots following in that dynastic run that you talked about than I gave it credit for. But anyway,
coming off the Mass Pike, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Makes total sense outside the Berkshires, but. That team always, they hit hard. They were well organized. They played tough. Like these were the hallmarks of it. Like there was some good creative play calling. Arthur Smith was his primary offensive coordinator. They were a team that didn't, they weren't going to beat you by a ton with, unless of course it was the Patriots in 2018. But otherwise, like they weren't going to run you over with this, like, you know, air raid adjacent offense and throw six touchdowns. They were more like a punch you in the face, smash mouth, good play action, some creative play calling, and solid defense type of football team. And I think one of the things that I've just been asking the organization to do and be since Brady left and since Belichick started having some problems that ultimately led to he and Kraft butting heads and having their elegant separation in January of 2024 was we've got six Super Bowls this century. Most fans that are old, that are your age and up, let alone my age, who've lived through several different iterations of the Patriots, would tell you, I've experienced so much joy already. It's okay. Please, getting back to the playoffs would be awesome. Another Super Bowl, couldn't even imagine asking for it, but I wouldn't kick it out of bed for eating crackers. Just please build a football team that we can be proud of, that represents the blue-collar nature of these fans and makes them proud to be loyal, die-hard season ticket holders. Like, make the Foxborough faithful in their football team again.
Yeah, no question. I think if this season had the exact same record at season's end, but there was proof positive that Jerod Mayo at the time was reinstilling his culture, was bringing a steady hand, and this year was just chalked up to a development year for Drake May and a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the football, and just a year in a rebuild that featured a team that was not going to be competitive, but at least had some building blocks. And that was all we were talking about. The conversation around this team, and I think around the head coach position, at least for me, would be a lot different. The real undoing in 2024 that, for me, led to the firing of Jerod Mayo and leads to the conversation that we have where people are pulling their hair out is because they became an embarrassment, and because it became a coach who couldn't say one thing and stick to it within a 24-hour period between Sunday at the podium and Monday on the Greg Hill show. Mm-hmm. And players who decided, in the spirit of defending their head coach, we're going to turn against the dwindling number of fans that you, God bless you, got to interact with at Gillette Stadium towards the end of the season. Because it became, the word that we've heard multiple times over the last week is untenable. An untenable situation where the coach was not leading and was not establishing a culture, and the players were starting to turn on the fan base and just turn on whatever culture was or was not being established. The bar was low for what I think would have been acceptable this year because of how bad the roster and how young the roster was, and how young the coaching staff was, how young your front office staff was. The bar was low for what was acceptable and what you would describe as a success or at least a building year. And somehow they managed to go under that. And that's why I think when the conversation comes to Vrabel, you get what I'm assuming Robert Kraft was looking for in Jerod Mayo, which is the continuance of the Patriot way and the continuance of the culture that was established under Belichick and Brady. But you actually get a guy who seems to know a bit of what the hell he's doing, and that seemed to be what was missing.
Yeah, and that's one of the, maybe that isn't one of the, you know, fine-tooth comb elements of this, but rather general hesitations of Patriots fans at large is, okay, we need to move on to something new. We need to move on to something fresh, something exciting, and something, like you said, competitive and competent. So Robert Kraft and the Kraft organization probably will reach for, again, another bastion of the past because of their familiarity with it. And that brings them comfort and they write the paychecks. So that's fine. So when you get into the idea of like Mike Vrabel, like, well, isn't he on the Belichick coaching tree? No, he's not. Actually, he went out and became his own coach.
Right.
But he picked up a number of traits from Bill Belichick that will make people either say he reminds them of Bill Belichick or would make them think he's part of the Belichick coaching tree. And then when you add in the rumors of Josh McDaniels possibly being a top choice for offensive coordinator, now people are saying, like, we're kind of rebranding at best. We're not turning a page and becoming a new organization or a new team. And, you know, there is an inherent risk with that it could be. Some people may think it's going to be stale or you know, they're playing the hits and it's retread. I still think that they would be their own football team. Would there be hallmarks of the days of Patriots past? Sure. Obviously, those faces alone would make you think of the dynasty. But I don't think that's just necessarily why they would go with people that they are comfortable with. I think they believe these would be the best people to give them the kind of football team that they want. And that's one that's always prepared. That's one that doesn't make headlines for the wrong reason, and that's one that's in games. So you can get people to the stadium, Dan, and actually keep them in their seats past halftime so that there's traffic on Route 1 again after the game, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I want that kind of inconvenience, gosh darn it. Like, it's something you've gotten used to over the last 15, 20 years. 617-779-7937 is the phone number to call and to text to join the Patriots conversation. Are you on the Vrabel side of the aisle, the Johnson side of the aisle, and how large of a sweeping change would you want as a Patriots fan in the organization if you were calling the shots? Do you clean house? Do you keep the continuity? And Fitzy, I'll ask you before we go to break, because as you mentioned, you've gone from the bad through the tremendous good, and now you're seeing the bad again on the roller coaster that is being a fan of a franchise in any sport ever. So I ask of you, when you hear the term clean house, and when you kind of weigh, I guess, the keeping the term the Patriot way and keeping items from the past versus let's modernize, let's leave that in the past, let's turn the page as a franchise and become something new. Are you completely on one side of that dynamic versus the other? Is it a bit more nuanced than that? What kind of balance, just as a fan of the team as you observe it, would you think would be the best for them to strike as they kind of point towards a new direction here?
I think it's the problem is it the truth of the matter is, I think in the eyes and the minds of a lot of fans, Dan, is that it's not like a talk radio sexy answer. You know, the truth, I believe in most of life, and especially in this particular situation, it's not black or white. It's right in the gray, and navigating the middle, the gray, the murk of life, that to me provides for the better understanding of how these situations go. In a perfect world, would it be great if there was you could get guaranteed confidence that somebody like a Ben Johnson could come in his first coaching opportunity, be completely competent, be so buttoned up and prepared and such a great leader of men that you could get what I've seen a lot of fans talking about online as a possible Reed and Mahomes 2.0
yeah,
in Johnson and Drake May. I mean, that would be incredible, but there's also an inherent risk with that as well, which is maybe Ben Johnson is a great play caller and coordinator, but he may not have the same chops. I think he may be even more Sean McVay than Andy Reid per se.
Okay.
Because he's a little more excitable and a little more dynamic, and seems to be smart as a whip, although I don't think any human being has ever had the Google-like recall that Sean McVay does as a coach. That guy is just, you want to talk about built different.
Oh, that, yeah.
He is the example of being built different. But
yeah, second and nine, week 12, 2015, what'd you run? And he's got it for you.
God bless.
It's something. What? It's something.
He's got to be the first guy everybody wants on their team on board game night. Has to be. Has to be. What a nightmare of parties, but he's got to be player one, always chosen.
Absolutely.
At board game night. But in Vrabel, you have a higher floor, probably slightly lower ceiling candidate who they trust. And the Crafts, I think they love what they were so much. They want to get back to it as well. So, you have to, in order to grow from the past, obviously you have to learn from it, but sometimes you have to let go of it as well and not just like completely dwell on it. So that's why I say there's nuance to it. And we all knew if you had to bet, if there was a possibility to bet on one of your, you know, pocket phone apps on who the Patriots are going to go with, I think all of us would have bet it was going to be Vrabel in the first place, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, he was in the minuses. He was the favorite. I think from the moment that you, quite honestly, he was the favorite to be the Patriots head coach in 2025, a couple weeks before Gerard Mayo was even fired. Mm-hmm. I would honestly land on that, and the number has just grown from there. But plenty more to get to here as we continue to wait for the white puff of smoke from Gillette Stadium on who they have hired as their next head coach. Dan Ball, Nick Fitzy Stevens with you. Taking you up until 10 o'clock, we'll bring you You Better You Bet countdown to kick off to get you set on your pocket phone app, as Fitzy said, for some bets in the trio of games coming up in Wild Card Weekend, all of which can be heard right here on WEEI, beginning with coverage at 12:30 of Denver and Buffalo. Then you have Green Bay and Philadelphia and Washington and Tampa Bay. We'll get into all of those games, plus what we saw yesterday. In addition to the two of us chatting with you here this morning, our good friend David Azar is behind the glass for our show today, and he is going to get you caught up on what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up with what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Bruins snapped their six-game losing streak yesterday afternoon, defeating the Florida Panthers 4-3 after David Pastrnak scored the game-winning goal with 1.2 seconds remaining in overtime. Jeremy Swayman had 40 saves in the win. The Bruins are back home on Tuesday night to play the Lightning at 7 p.m. The Celtics are getting set to face the Pelicans at 6 p.m. tonight. They'll look to right the ship after falling to the Kings on Friday night. The Patriots have completed head coaching interviews with Pep Hamilton, Byron Leftwich, Mike Vrabel, and Ben Johnson. The latest reports say that Mike Vrabel and the team are engaged in contract negotiations. Westwood One's coverage of the NFL Wildcard Weekend rolls on today, right here on WEEI. Coverage begins at 12:30 with the Denver Broncos heading up north to face the Buffalo Bills. I'm David Azar. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More with Dan and Fitzy right after this.
Back.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
That was Jonathan Jones of the NFL on CBS, and definitely not a member of the New England Patriots, as I may or may not have said a couple weeks ago, accidentally attributing a tweet to cornerback Jonathan Jones.
Of all the insider names that somebody has to someone has to go, roll with, like, yeah, I know, Jonathan Jones, perfect.
I was like, oh, wow, I didn't realize our John Jones, who was on the afternoon show every week, was getting into the news-breaking game on Twitter, and Christian Arkin set me straight real quick. But regardless, we're back here on WEEI. Dan Ball, Nick Fitzy Stevens with you, 617-779-7937. Let's hear from Eddie in New Hampshire to lead us off. Good morning, Eddie.
Hey, good morning, guys. Definitely Mike Vrabel. But it doesn't matter, a new coach. It doesn't matter unless the culture changes. We don't have any wow factor guys. We don't have any human highlight film guys. We have Pop Douglas. That's about it. We had, you know, the running back, Ramondre, but he kept fumbling.
Right.
Had used to have Ridley back in the day, right? Until he... Hey, you're bench, dude, so you got to go by, right?
Right.
So we don't have that wow factor, like, and you got to be more creative on offense. Just move the pocket. Just get outside the tackle and throw it to the yard marker. Live the fight on the down. It's not that hard.
Thank
you. Common basic sense, right? So what do you guys think?
Well, thank you for the call, Eddie. I appreciate it very much. And one thing I can guarantee you is the offense will look drastically different next year because Alex Van Pelt, if, you know, no, as many people may be unaware, Dan,
yeah,
no coach or coordinator besides Gerard Mayo has been relieved of their services as of yet. I think the plan is, since they're all under contract, to give the next head coach an opportunity to see if he wants to actually hold on to any of the coaches, coordinators, keep them, I doubt, in their current position, but rather maybe an Alex Van Pelt. Who knows if a Mike Vrabel, should he get a contract that is of his liking and become the 16th coach of the Patriots, maybe he comes in and says, Alex, and I'm going to bring in Josh, but maybe you'd like to stick around and work with the quarterbacks, at which point, you know, he can say yes, or he can say fare thee well, and thanks for the memories. And same with Covington and all these other guys, although DeMarcus Covington already interviewed for the vacancy as defensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Right.
So as for how will the offense be? It'll definitely look different, whether it's McDaniels, whether it's anybody else that Mike Vrabel would possibly bring in. As far as Eddie's other point of the Patriots needing a wow factor, I think the wow factor is going to have to come in the form of free agency when they possibly pick up a wide receiver one or make a trade for somebody, whether it's a DK Metcalf or another receiver who's going to be coming up on his deal that a team doesn't want to actually pay big money to. So the wow factor is they're not going to just wow factor you with like, oh, my God, I can't believe Vrabel was right there and wanted to come home and they went with Ben Johnson. That's the thing. They also know this. The Patriots know, and they just don't want to say out loud, and you can't say it because we've already had some issues with Gerard Mayo's wife clapping back about a lot of the reports about how non-functional and how problematic his tenure, his one and done was with the Patriots. You can't have Robert Kraft step up and say, already after his mea culpa last Monday, Dan, he's not going to get on the microphone this week and say, this is what I should have done last year. So now I'm righting a wrong that I made in January 2024. I'm bringing in Mike Vrabel as our next head coach, because that would just mire the beginning of his new tenure in controversy all over again.
Right, right. And it would further exacerbate a conversation that you and I have both heard all week, which is we're not sure how much trust we have in the Kraft brain trust compared to the ultimate level of trust that was had during the course of the run that we've talked about multiple times. A note from Mike Reese from ESPN on the topic of the coaches, and we can get into the McDaniels conversation. Patriots assistant coaches were told on Wednesday that they were on vacation and would receive an update when the head coach was hired, according to a source familiar with the situation. A new head coach could potentially keep some members of the staff who remain under contract, which leaves many in a holding pattern. So my question to you then becomes, I mean, you have to give your head coach carte blanche to build out the staff as seen fit. And for the two candidates that we talk about, and really the only two that are legitimate in this process, with Ben Johnson being a first-time head coach, it would be critical to me that you bring in some kind of veteran presence, especially leading the defensive side of the football, almost an assistant head coach type figure and somebody who can provide a bit of guidance, because we already saw last year in the worst way possible what happens when you bring in a first-time head coach with a first-time DC, not with a first-time offensive coordinator, but with a guy who hasn't called plays on offense since I think it was 2009 with the Bills or something like that, where Alex Van Pelt was concerned. With Vrabel, it's a little bit of a different conversation, but we played the clip from John Jones off the top. So is it a matter of time, assuming that Mike Vrabel is the guy and they find a number on the contract that suits both sides? Is it basically just an understood reality that Josh McDaniels is returning to the sidelines here?
It's not not yet. Okay. I don't think it's a certainty. I think it seems to be trending in that direction. And I believe on Friday, Hart had shared some stories of Josh McDaniels spending time, since he's being paid handsomely to do whatever it is he wants to do. I mean, he could be building model airplanes for $10 million a year. I don't know.
Yeah. Hopefully working on the golf game.
Dude, with the money he's getting paid by the Raiders to sit at home and drive his kids to school and sit in the carpool lane and, you know, and bitch about not getting any sleep on sleepovers and the refs in his daughter's lacrosse game, I would hope that his short game is improving. He could build a simulator in his basement, for God's sakes.
Oh, gotta but be. Yeah.
Bare minimum. Side note, what's the first thing you would, if you were getting paid $10 million a year to, this is what happens when you do a radio show with me on a Sunday, Dan. You get asked questions like this.
Well,
if you were being
questions.
Paid, these are the real questions. These are the important questions. And I think the audience cares about this stuff. If you were getting paid Josh McDaniels money to not coach and be at home, what would you do for yourself?
It's got to be a vacation of some kind. Something remote, like something get me away. I don't know if it's we used to interview. I'm assuming this is public knowledge. We used to interview Buster Olney on our show in New York, and he lives in Montana. And he would send a picture every now and again of just like the open space with nobody in the nobody around for miles to see. I feel like just get yourself out Get out and reset somewhere.
See some world.
See some world. Do some things that you can't do with. I mean, it's free money. I know somebody's paying it, but it's free money that you're getting. So I'm all about the experience. Or
an experiential gift.
Yeah, okay. Versus something stupid and fun. But where would you go?
That's funny you mentioned that, because remember when Cliff Kingsbury was let go a couple years ago as head coach of the Cardinals? He immediately received offers to be offensive coordinator, took a year off, went to Thailand.
Huh.
Just funded a big old, super expensive, explore the world, backpacking, hiking, and eating world-class food and sitting on the beaches of Phuket and wherever else.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
It really does, especially when you're as handsome as him with all that money to spend.
Yeah, I'm sure he was alone for that entire year.
I'm sure he was just by himself.
Just
another night clutching his pillow,
crying. No companionship to speak of.
I would build the ultimate retreat. I would want to just have a huge home that I could invite friends and family to come visit, and in it would be a gym, a movie theater, sauna, golf simulator. Have like a small football field in the backyard, maybe like a batting cage. I would just want to build a playline. Basically, as you've probably come to know, I kind of am just Josh Baskin from Big, the Tom Hanks character, like a 38-year-old trapped in a 13-year-old, a 13-year-old in a 38-year-old's body. That's all it is. I mean, that's really all. And that's what makes the ride so fun. But now back to the topic. Andy had intimated on Friday that Josh McDaniels, word was that he has been spending time traveling, seeing football in other towns, communities, colleges, etc., and talking to other coordinators, play callers, offensive minds, updating his, not just his Rolodex, updating his own play sheet, trying to make his offense more contemporary, because so much of what Josh McDaniels did that worked thanks to the brilliance of the team that was put together by Bill Belichick, Ernie Adams, the Mike Lombardis, etc., but also just the execution, the high level of precision, the Italian sports car performance that Tom Brady brought to an offense. Well, now it's going to be different. You may have a higher physical ceiling with Drake May, but you don't know necessarily if he's going to operate it with the same kind of precision that a Brady does. But also, he can move differently. How can Josh McDaniels update so that his offense can be more dynamic in the face of these hyper-athletic quarterbacks being the standard of performance?
Now, one other thing that was brought up by the caller a few moments ago that you alluded to, and by the way, thank you for taking that after the call, because I made a mistake on the call screener here in studio. So appreciate you running with that call, talking about the explosive difference makers, the wow factors, and you alluded to the fact that you're going to have to do it through free agency, and you're right, and I would also throw trades into the mix as well, because it's not a great draft. It seems to be a pretty weak draft. Even where the Patriots are at four, you should be able to get a difference maker. But I also wouldn't trust this front office as currently constructed to then find the diamond in the rough in the second round and beyond. That's gonna supplement this roster. When the eventual announcement comes, probably within the next 24 hours, hell, maybe within the next hour and a half if we're lucky, that Mike Vrabel is the head coach. On Thursday and Friday, you guys talked to Mike Girardi on Friday. The day before that, Christian and Andy talked to Tommy Curran, and both had different answers about who would be making these selections in the 2025 draft. Girardi told you guys he believed it would still be Elliott Wolf, and the day before, Tommy Curran said he thought that it would be Vrabel who would have the final say. So it brings to mind the question, assuming that Vrabel is our guy. Now that you're in contract negotiations, you can kind of assume he's going to be the guy, which is a shame.
Pretty comfortable and safe to say.
Yeah, I'm comfortable in running with that as this hypothetical. How much control do you believe Mike Vrabel will be given, or how much say would he be given in the direction of the roster to hopefully bring in a couple more of those difference makers in an offseason's time?
You got to give him. You can't bring him in initially and say, we're thrilled to have you here. There's so much work to do. Thank you for not only wanting to coach the team with the handsome paycheck we've given you, but also clean up the mess and restore some pride and optimism to our organization. You can't do all of that and say, but someone else is going to be telling, like, you're a great chef. Someone else is going to be picking the groceries, to go with the time old aged Parcellesian metaphor here.
Right.
It's not, you can't do that. So the answer is, well, so when Giardi says Elliot Wolf's going to be making the pick, and Tommy Curran says it's going to be Vrabel, I think, to me, if you don't have Elliot Wolf and any of the people in the scouting department, the player personnel department, etc., doing their due diligence to provide Mike Vrabel with all of their best opinion, information, and intel, but ultimately let he and whoever he decides to be the true GM of the organization, if you don't let them do that, you are undercutting them from minute one, and you are establishing a terrible precedent that means other voices and other fingers may be in the clay, in the dough. And I just think that that will possibly, Dan, build a level of distrust that you don't want to get this new form of the Kraft/Patriots and Vrabel relationship off to. That would just, I think it'd be terrible.
Yeah, that's about as worst of a first step forward that you can imagine. And it's also consistent with reporting that we've seen in the past. There was a clip from Andrew Callahan on a podcast a couple weeks ago, and it was followed up by something that Mike Reese wrote in his piece earlier this morning, speaking on the fact that Elliot Wolf would be comfortable, at least based on the sources that they talked to, would be comfortable with a different role within the organization where he may not be the person that has the final say on football operations decisions. And to go back to something that we spoke about earlier on in the show, the desire for continuity that was pretty much a free space on the bingo card in the Belichick era. You knew no matter what, well, there's going to be agreement within the ranks because, well, all the ranks are run by the same person. So if you're willing to give him that kind of breath to not only run the team on the sidelines, but also be able to make some of those decisions and carry out his vision from a football operations perspective as a head coach, you do at least instill that trust and that level of continuity from level to level to level within the organization that seems to be missing right now. Again, is it going to be the right decision to give them all that power and the potential final say? We don't know. It's too early to know that, and there's a lot to do with this roster, and it remains to be seen if Mike Vrabel would be capable of making the kind of decisions and enticing free agents to come play for a franchise that does have two or three players worth building around right now. That's a lot to put on one guy's plate. But the alternative being having spare parts put together from one era and another era and another era and just say, all right, make it work. Build a winner out of a you know, 3-4 win franchise doesn't seem like a recipe for success. So even if it ends up being wrong, it's probably the safer way to go about it, to just say, listen, mm-hmm. You have a vision, you know, based on being with this franchise and everything that he said in his Hall of Fame speech, he knows what it means to play for and oversee championship football in New England. We know you know what that looks like. We know you know what we want. Now go do it. That's got to be the best way forward.
It does. And I think first and foremost, Robert Kraft will tell you, I want wins. I want playoffs. I want a full stadium. I want excitement, joy, ratings, all of that. I think the first thing he would probably tell you, if push came to shove or in confidence, Dan, Robert Kraft would say, I just want this organization to get on track again. I want it to have a direction. I want it to be less of a mess. We can't lose 34-0 to the Saints. We can't lose 38-3 to Dallas. We can't come out of the bye and be so lifeless on the road against Arizona. We can't lose 40-7 to the Chargers. Like, I need this to be a proper operation again. Like, you know, the whole exception. Like, we used to be a proper franchise. We used to be a proper country, whatever, however people like to harumph online. You know, I'm sure the crafts
think used to about be a society.
That. Yeah. They're probably like, we used to be not just a proper franchise, we used to be the gold standard, and now look at us. So I think that's priority one for them, which again is what points the needle in the direction of Vrabel.
617-779-7937 if you want to jump on one of the phone lines we have available for you. We'll continue the conversation, but we'll expand our scope a bit to look at the wild card, no longer super wild card weekend, which is its own disappointment, but wild card weekend started last night. A couple of games that had contenders versus pretenders for sure, but hopefully that tees up a much better Sunday than we had on Saturday. We continue the conversation on the NFL on the other side of this.
This is WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
That was the call on Amazon Prime as the Baltimore Ravens ran the Pittsburgh Steelers right out of the playoffs again as Wild Card Weekend began last night. Three more games today, one more tomorrow, all of which you can hear right here on WEEI. Speaking of EEI, you're hearing Dan Ballin, Fitzy Stevens here on this Sunday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. Fitzy, you sent a tweet that was kind of akin to one of those Notes app messages, just with the length and the amount of data that came out about the Pittsburgh Steelers and their quote-unquote playoff appearances, because, yes, they've been in the playoffs, but what they've done really doesn't hold a lot of weight. I'll tee you up by saying last night was the sixth straight playoff game in which the Steelers faced a double-digit deficit at halftime. Yes, the Ravens are a very good football team. Yes, Derrick Henry is having a renaissance that few predicted at the beginning of the season. But the Pittsburgh Steelers, when it comes to playoff time, you might as well just pack it up and hit the golf course early at this point.
Yeah, and this comes on the heels of us talking about the Patriots and wanting to see them get back to winning ways, or, hey, why can't we be, you know, speaking of teams that had dynastic runs and then find themselves winning more football games than losing, or at least actually being competitive. People say, like, oh, look at the Steelers. Tomlin hasn't had a losing season in all, 18 years he's been coaching, blah, right. Blah, blah. Okay, well, a Steelers fan put together this little running list, this litany of Steelers facts about their postseason appearances over the past decade, to which I would say, hey, Patriots fans, would you rather have had all that success, take a dip to the depths and the darkness for half a decade, but then try to come back up and be great in a different capacity again? Or would you want to be this level of mid? So this came from at Cole Thomas 88. The Steelers have allowed, because they're one and done in the postseason every year now.
Right.
Steelers have allowed at least 31 points in five straight playoff games, an NFL record. No other team has more than a three-game streak. The 2016 Steelers allowed a season-high 36 points to the Pats in the AFC Championship game. Side note from your editor/speaker on the microphone, that was when Chris Hogan went wild and had like 10 for a $1.80 and two touchdowns.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think he's still scoring in the fog. Back to the tweet. 2017 Steelers allowed a season high 45 points to the Jags in the AFC divisional round at home. Remember that one? That was a shock. Blake Bortles just couldn't be stopped.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the tweet. 2020 Steelers allowed a season high 48 points to the Browns in the AFC wild card at home. That was a stunner. That was Big Ben's playoff farewell, I believe. The 2021 Steelers allowed a season high 42 points to the Chiefs in the AFC wild card. The 2023 Steelers allowed a season high 31 points to the Bills in the AFC wild card in the snow. And then, of course, last night, the Ravens take their foot off the gas, only scoring 28 because they were in complete control of that game from box to wire.
Right.
The tweet finishes, Tomlin is the only coach in NFL history to see his team allow a season high in points in five straight postseason appearances. No one else has a streak longer than 3 years. So for everyone that's like, Tomlin is the standard, or, you know, if he's done in Pittsburgh, trade for him, I would say, sure, great soundbite, solid coach.
Yep.
But is this what you want? Because talk about coming up short when it matters most.
Now, I would argue, first of all, he's an upgrade over what you had last year, and I know that's an easy thing to say, but it's true.
You and I would be an upgrade over what they had last
year. Well, this is also true. But I don't know. I mean, I understand that he is the mark of mediocrity at this point. I would be curious on a team that actually had a functioning quarterback and not Ben Roethlisberger with ice on every single joint on his body, or Kenny Pickett or Russell Wilson. I would be curious to see what he would do in a situation like this, and the level and the culture that he would bring. I've used the word culture a lot, because I think that's the thing that you were expecting Mayo to bring that he didn't, and that you're hoping Mike Vrabel brings. But you have to have the hot seat conversation around him if you're in Pittsburgh right now, right? I mean, you've learned time and, what was it, five times in a row? Time and time and time and time and time again what the high watermark is right now with that group and that coach. Would I take him in New England? Absolutely, I would.
Mm-hmm.
So here,
100. Yeah, I mean, here, over what we had.
Let me ask you a question.
Yep.
Who, if you're all things are equal, you just hired Mike Vrabel, or you're interviewing Mike Vrabel, I should say. They fire Mike Tomlin. You bring him in for an interview before you've made a decision on Vrabel. Who has a higher watermark as a head coach of the Patriots in 2025?
Tomlin or Vrabel?
Yes.
Oh, Mike Vrabel, 100%. Because he gets it. Because of the emotional continuity.
Okay.
Because of his familiarity with where everything is, whether or not they're building the fancy new practice and training facility after finishing last in the NFLPA in so many different organizational and structural standards. No, Vrabel, because it's a little more plug and play. It's not going to have to be, we're going to do everything different now. We have to learn to do things Mike Tomlin's way.
Right.
There's enough symmetry, I think, between the way Belichick did things and the way Vrabel will probably do things, even though it's still going to be his team and not just Belichick 2.0.
Yeah.
That I think that would allow them to excel further quicker. I want to ask you this, though.
Yeah.
So this just popped up on the old timeline. Savage Sports picked this up from Jordan Schultz.
Oh, yeah.
And this is when your favorite aggregators come in extremely handy. Jordan Schultz tweets out last night, Chiefs assistant GM Mike Borgonzi is scheduled to interview virtually tomorrow with the Titans. That would be today.
Right.
Borgonzi has previously interviewed with the Jets. He's been with Kansas City for 16 seasons. So is that the kind of hire? That's certainly not a splash or a wow factor. However, anybody that has been around a team that has had such continued draft and free agency success, finding players that continuously fit, whether it's Elvis Gerbeck, Alex Smith, and now Patrick Mahomes, wouldn't that excite you just a little bit to see maybe if this guy could commit? If Vrabel says, whoa, hold on a second. This is my kind of guy. Get this guy in here. This is how we rebuild quickly. This is how we get good. This is how we win.
Oh, absolutely. I'm completely, first of all, I was team Ben Johnson and turn the page and actually bring some, bring some modern day and NFL excitement and some higher ceiling type excitement to what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. I'm also a fan of start at the top and build your way down when you're rebuilding a franchise, in the sense that if you're going to bring in a coach and then figure out the general manager or have the coach be the de facto decision maker in the front office, I know that was successful in New England for 25 years, so I'm not going to fault them for doing that because it worked. But if you're trying to rebuild a roster, you're trying to bring a success, you're trying to bring the most success in to the building and the most successful minds as quickly as possible, that would excite me. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you bring in an assistant general manager, being in New York at the time when they brought in Joe Shane from the Bills to run the Giants, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Bills have done a great job building their roster. No, they haven't won a championship, but I see what you're thinking, and that's kind of the even more successful way of looking at it when you pull from the Chiefs general manager tree, wherein you bring in somebody who has a vision for how to build the roster and who will be the right person to actually call the plays to execute it as you built that roster. So yeah, that would absolutely excite me, and I feel like it's the more natural way of building a staff, where you start in the front office and then you allow the front office to dictate where they want the sideline staff to go versus the other way around, if that makes sense.
I couldn't agree more. And if Vrabel is going to be the one thing that ownership and the organization insists be in place before, I just you can't just tell me, well, we've already got our GM in Elliott Wolf, and you're just going to have to live with him and work with him. You got to give this guy a little say in the matter. You got to allow him to find someone that he can it's a neuro link, Dan. It's you have to work in lockstep. Ugh, God, I want to throw up for saying all this.
Man, you got real into corporate America.
I got
there
super
for
corporate, didn't I? Oh,
let's
my
make
gosh.
Sure we circle back after this. Yeah, and I'd like to put a pit of that for just a moment.
Exactly. God, I'm going to go to my feelings room and just sort of work it out afterwards. Oh, good Lord. But that's how it needs to be. It needs to be that way, as opposed to here's the guy that does the picking of the players around here. Yeah, but I don't like the way he picks players. Well, too bad. That's how we do it here. Well, then why'd you bring me in if you're not going to allow me to put some of my tone to this team?
617-779-7937 if you want to join the conversation. Phone lines are open. We'd love to catch up with you. There's more meat on the bone for Wild Card Weekend, so we'll continue that conversation as we begin hour number two. Dan Ball, Nick Fitzy-Stevens with you here on this football Sunday. No Patriots to speak of, but some actual good football, and we'll talk about that next.